A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. The people stood by and watched. The rulers, meanwhile, sneered at him and said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Messiah of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." Above him there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed we have been condemned justly. The sentence we receive corresponds to our crimes, but this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said to him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen. I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." This celebration of Christ the king is a relatively recent one, instituted in the reign of Leo XIII. It was a time when nationalism was on the rise in Europe, and there was a consolidation and formation of the modern countries as we know them today. Concomitant with this, there was the effects of the different anti-clerical movements, primarily among which were the French Revolution and then the machinations of the Chancellor in Germany. There were many loyalties, placing people at odds to one another. The result were wars, skirmishes, disputes, rampant disregard for the role of the church. Fast forward a generation or two, and just south of us, in the nation of Mexico, there arose a group of fervent Catholics called Los Cristeros. And their primary motive and loyalty was to the kingship of Christ in reaction to a rapidly anti-clerical, atheistic, communistic regime. What does it mean when they said with their dying breaths, "Viva Cristo Rey," long live Christ the King? Wipe away any thoughts you have of the various kings that have reigned throughout the years, some of them rather benevolent and wise, and others outright despots with absolute power of life and death. The kingship of Jesus Christ is the pattern that all kings should draw from. We tend to reverse these things. We tend to create God in our image and likeness rather than the other way around as it is. And when we use these words like Father, Mother, Son, King, they are but faint reflections of these realities, the fullness of which resides in God alone. The kingship of Jesus Christ, the prime motivator is love. When Jesus reigns, he reigns from the throne of a cross. His armies are men and women who go out in life surrendering obedience, come to serve and not to dominate. From him and from the authority which God has given into his hands come all rightful authorities. There is no lawful authority which does not ultimately have its origin in the delegation of power from the Father to the Son, incarnate in the midst of human society. It's a strong, demanding statement, one which drives those who do not believe into great anger and reaction. But it is true, you cannot serve this Lord, this King, and still serve those who are against him. You must make the decision. Jesus is Lord. And from the Lordship of Jesus Christ derives our relationship with our Creator. From the kingship of Jesus, all rightful power flows, and everything that we owe allegiance to must be examined to see whether it is in harmony or conflict with the kingship of Jesus Christ. We can't compromise this. When we start to do this, and gradually things start to slip away, our call, our allegiance, our way of life must mirror the reality that Jesus Christ indeed is the King of Kings, and from him comes all power, all goodness, all love, and we only share in these things to the degree that we mirror him in our lives. Amen.